Romans chapter number 1 and Romans 16. You can go ahead and stand and stretch your legs for just a moment. And it's good to have visitors in the service again tonight. Thank you for being here. Had several visitors in the service this morning. And so that's always a blessing if you're here visiting with us. We're honored, and you've made our night, and you've made our day being here. And we trust the service thus far has been a help to you. Romans chapter number 1 and in verse number 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for y'all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. And so Paul says, what you got, I got. What I got, you got. And there is a mutual faith that exists between them. In Romans 16, again in verse number 25, we've read the opening verses of this epistle. And now we read the closing three verses of this epistle. Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. All right. Appreciate you standing. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, please help us tonight. Take the words, Lord, of our mouth and, Lord, the meditations of our heart. And, Lord, I pray you would govern them and guide them that they would be pleasing in thy sight. And all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord some time ago laid it upon our heart to preach a series upon the gospel. And we've been making our way through the scriptures, through the New Testament, concerning subjects of the gospel. And we have dealt with several things. We've dealt with the power of the gospel and the preaching of the gospel. And we've come to this section that we're dealing with now through the book of Romans. And we understand through our study that the book of Romans uses the word gospel 13 times. 13 times more than any other book, more than any other letter Paul would write. And Paul was a gospel teacher and a gospel preacher. And the gospel, that is, the gospel especially, is being declared to the Gentiles, was something very near and dear to the heart of the Apostle Paul. And when we study the book of Romans, we find that he deals with the gospel directly more than he does in any other epistle that Paul would write. And so with that in mind, we find that the book of Romans, you would think, would be filled with doctrines concerning salvation, a lot of doctrinal truth. And I would say in the book of Romans, there is a lot of doctrine. And in fact, in Romans 1 through 5, that seems to be the main thing that Paul takes up. In light of the gospel, we find that there are doctrines that we, my friend, embrace and have been brought into as a result of the gospel. Amen. Things such as justification. Amen. Things such as the imputation of the grace of God to the believer's life. And where sin did abound, grace doth much more abound. And all of that is in relation to the gospel. Amen. And its impression upon our lives concerning the doctrine that we embrace. But in Romans chapter number 6 through the end of chapter number 16, the apostle Paul, not that he altogether leaves doctrine, but he begins to take certain truths and apply them to the duties of the child of God. And so he deals with our doctrine in the first 5 chapters and then with our duty, if you will, there in the remainder of his epistle. Really what he does and really what he is emphasizing is that the gospel is important to how you live. At the gospel affects every area of your life. He would say in Romans chapter number 1 and in verse number 16 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so he spends those first five chapters and is expounding upon this gospel in light of the power of God unto salvation. But he's going to go on from there and deal with the gospel. And it's not just that it's the power of God unto salvation, but that the gospel has a definite purpose in the life of the children of God. Even after that, we are saved. We don't just get saved and the gospel is there and then it leaves us alone. No. In fact, all of our growth, all of our walk with God, everything that we're called to be and everything we're called to do, it centers and rests upon, amen, the gospel being relevant and being real in our lives. And so we would say tonight, as we said on the last several services we've tried to preach this, that it is contrary to the gospel to want it to save your soul but not change your life. Amen. In the moment of salvation, there is a change. A sinner is brought out of the darkness and into the light. Amen. He's lifted out of the family of the devil and he's placed into the family of God. Amen. We'd call it the doctrine of the new birth and being born again. Amen. And placed in and able to see and enjoy the kingdom of God. And so we're thankful for that and we're thankful for the immediate change of position. Amen. But the gospel is that my friend brings about the ongoing work by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In which it changes our life. It establishes us is the word that we want to focus in upon. Amen. It establishes us in the faith. It establishes us in accordance to the life that the gospel demands that you and I live. And so to want the gospel or try to embrace the gospel to save your soul, but not change your life is contrary to what, amen, Christ and the Word of God teaches you and I about the gospel. And so with that in mind, consider that Paul states in this closing chapter that it is the gospel that is to establish us in our walk with God. Amen. We said on last week, I love this statement as the Lord give it to me. That is, the gospel not only provides for our salvation, but thank God it presides for our establishing. Amen. It presides. It's there on the inside. Amen. The day I got saved, the gospel met me where I was. Amen. It brought me out of the darkness into the light. The gospel took up, amen, a precedence in my life. It presides there, resides there, and dwells there, and lives there, and works there in my life. And what the Apostle Paul said is that, amen, it is by this gospel, according to this gospel, amen, that these Roman believers could be rest assured that their lives would be spiritually established. And so thank God for that. The word establish, it is used here. Amen. Means set fast or to fix firmly. Amen. To be steadfast in mind, to confirm and or to strengthen. And it means to turn resolutely in a certain direction. And so as God's children, we need to be established. Amen. We need some things fixed firmly in our life. We need, amen, some things set fast. We need our minds to be, amen, steadfast upon the things of God and concerning the things of God. And our walk with God and our relationship with Christ and our lives with one another, there are things that must be regularly confirmed and strengthened lest we become weary in the way in which we journey. Preacher, how does that establishing take place? Amen. It happens by way of the gospel. Amen. The gospel's further ministry in the life of the child of God. Amen. We're to be letting the gospel turn our life in a certain direction. Amen. So many tonight are going, I believe, in a wrong direction. And yet, if they're saved, they have, amen, the gospel presiding within them that longs to direct their life. Amen. And I believe you say, well, what areas of my life? What matters in my life? I would say, what matters not of your life? Amen. Every area and relationship of our life, it ought to be, amen, governed by and direction set according to the gospel. And so we're dealing with the presiding of the gospel, the power, yes, and the preaching. Oh, how important that is to understand. But as it relates to you and I believe, especially in these last days, where there's so many winds of doctrines, there's so many cunning devices and so many wiles and fiery darts being flung our way. And if we're going to make it faithfully across the finish line, amen, we better learn about the presiding of the gospel that is on the inside. And yet I dare say many tonight have never given consideration, amen, to that ongoing work of the gospel and how the gospel relates to, amen, conforming my life to the image of the Son of God. Amen, bringing my life in line to the example that Jesus Christ, amen, has lived according to the story of His life. Amen. And so the presiding power of the gospel has three things attached to it. In verse number 25 through 27, and we looked at the person that is Jesus Christ. He's the one that has the power, amen, to turn the gospel, amen, fire up, amen, and apply it to our life. We looked at the person and we looked at the preaching. As Paul said, the preaching of Jesus Christ. Amen. In other words, if our lives are going to be, amen, governed in a direction set in the way in which we ought to live and go, amen, it's going to take the person of Christ, but it's going to take, my friend, the ministry of preaching, amen, and applying gospel truths to our life. Amen. And then we looked at the praise found in verses number 26 and verse 27. As Paul reminds them, we've not always had the gospel. God in His great, great love and mercy and wisdom and even sovereignty, amen, hath in these last times, amen, revealed it unto you and I. Thank God we know the gospel tonight, and it's been preached to us and it has reached us. Amen, because God brought it to us through men of God, yes. Amen, through mission endeavors of the churches, yes. Amen, but at the end of the day, it is God that is in control of it. Amen, it's God that has made it effective. It is God that brought it where we were. And Paul concludes this thought saying, amen, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And so the only one that gets the glory for you and I, amen, having been saved by the power of the gospel, amen, and to be able to enjoy the presiding of the gospel in our life to establish us, amen, the only one should get the praise for that is God Almighty. Amen. And so the person, the preaching, and the praise. Now, when we consider this, I'm about to new ground. I'll be able to preach here. Amen. I'm already feeling pretty good about it. But what we embarked upon last Sunday night was, and we understand there's so much in chapter 6 through 16. in relation to our Christian duty and the gospel and how it leads you and I, amen, into victory over sin, walking in the Spirit, amen, resting in intercession, and on and on and on we can go so many ways. Our relationship to the government, our relationship to our employers, our relationship to one another, and on that we could preach from probably dozens of things. And so we're just confining ourselves to three matters out of chapter number 16 as it relates to the gospel presiding in us for our establishing in some very definite matters. Quickly, we'll rehearse verses 1 through verse number 18, where we see that the gospel presides to establish us in our disbursement of goodwill. Our disbursement of goodwill. And so Paul in this chapter, he begins by, amen, giving a commendation and then giving salutation and greetings to different individuals that are in that church. Paul had never been there. Paul had never laid eyes on most of them. He had met Aquila and Priscilla in Corinth along his missionary journey as they had been exiled under persecution away from Rome for a time. Now they're back. And he references the fact that it was them that laid down their necks, amen, on the line for the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And besides Aquila and Priscilla, we do not know that Paul ever had personally met anybody else in that church. And yet he takes the time to greet them and salute them, no doubt exemplifying that the gospel, my friend, is what brings you and I together in fellowship. In fact, we reference what Paul said the church at Philippi about our fellowship being in the gospel. And my friend, if you've been saved by the power of the gospel and I've been saved by the power of the gospel, amen, we have the foundation for a perfect fellowship. And my friend, brings you and I together for a what we'll call tonight a disbursement of goodwill. Amen, we looked in verses 1 through 15, the camaraderie of our goodwill. Amen, we're in this thing together. Amen, I don't know if Paul left anybody out, but he gave a pretty long list of names there of people that he had heard about and had a testimony, amen, of their faithfulness to Christ and the work of God. And so what Paul, I believe, is doing is exemplifying, amen, even through his own life, the disbursement of goodwill that the gospel establishes in our life. Amen, it teaches us to fellowship with one another. And it teaches you and I how to love one another. And so there's a camaraderie that is manifest in our goodwill, the compassion in our goodwill, verse 16. Amen, when he gets done himself saluting and greeting these by way of letter, amen, he says, now you salute one another with an holy kiss. And that ain't Paul being perverted in any way, just, amen, a different culture and a different time and a different way of greeting one another. And we ain't gonna start practicing it that way. Amen, we'll still do the Gentile handshake and, amen, the chicken wing, elbow, amen, wave it, and the fist bump, and we'll stick with that. Amen, but it's dealing with compassion. Amen, it's dealing with reflecting our love some way for one another. Amen, and we understand Christ commanded that. Amen, we understand John the Beloved rested in that. Amen, as an assurance of even our own salvation. Amen, if you don't know the love of God, you'll never shed abroad the love of God to somebody else. And so there's a camaraderie and a compassion. Amen, in this disbursement of our goodwill. Verse 17 and in verse number 18, he gives a caution for our goodwill. Amen, we're not to extend our goodwill to those that, amen, would cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And so he says, you've learned some things, you've been taught some things, you have been instructed in doctrine and in duty and in responsibility. And he says, be careful, because there's a crowd that will seek to divide and bring offenses that are contrary to sound Bible doctrine. And Paul is not teaching about being mean-spirited. Amen. And some get this in their mind that, amen, to mark somebody and avoid somebody that makes you some mean child of God. And I know there's some out there, amen, and I understand that, but this is a Bible command, amen, to mark them and avoid them. And the warning that Paul gives, amen, concerns the fact that these are not servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, but servants of their own belly. And the warning is, amen, that these so easily and craftily began to, amen, by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And there's a lot of things go on in the name of loving people that ain't in line with that book right there. And I'm not saying we be hateful and hate folk. That's not what Paul's saying. That ain't what I'm preaching. Amen. But any of us, our hearts can be deceived by somebody, amen, who is not interested in church unity and in the proclamation of sound doctrine being embraced. And Paul gives a caution about our disbursement of goodwill. And we said some things about that last week, and I'll digress because I want to get to these next 2 points and finish this up. Amen. The gospel presides for the establishing of our disbursement of goodwill. Number two, and quickly, and I'll just swing this hammer real good and hard and we'll get it over with. Notice what verse number 19 said. He said, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. Ain't that a statement? Amen. I'll deal with it in a second. He said, I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And so Paul is saying here, now listen, amen, he's dealing with the gospel from the opening chapter to the closing chapter. Amen, he's closing this down saying, amen, you need Christ to work in your life and through preaching, amen, to establish you so you can stay in tune with God in worship and in praise. Amen, how does that work? What is establishing me in? Amen, a discernment of good. Paul said, you've been running well, and I'll deal with this in a minute, but, amen, well, let me deal with it now. Paul said, I tell you something about you believers down in Rome. Amen, he said, you are known for, amen, the obedience of your faith. Amen, he is saying, man, they talk about y'all everywhere I go. But Timmy's saying, everywhere I go, all I hear is, at church down there in Rome, buddy, they are living the gospel. Amen, they are obedient. You can preach something to them, buddy, they'll embrace it, they'll go home and live it. And they were gaining a testimony for how they responded to truth. Amen. Going back to chapter number 1, here's what Paul said. Again, he said in verse number 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Amen. You know what Paul is saying? He said, man, amen, everywhere they're talking about, amen, your walk with God, your life of faith, how that you live what is declared and what is preached to you. Amen, what a testimony this church had. Amen, I'll be honest, if I, amen, and I don't get mad at me now, I would love to pastor a church like that. Amen, that has had a testimony throughout the world. And they would say, man, them down there at Calvary, amen, you can get up and preach the word of God. They don't bullfrog and blow up and get mad and pout about it. They just eat it up and soak it in and live it out. And that be, my friend, the testimony, amen, of the work of God. That's what Paul is saying about them. Ain't that a testimony? Amen. That is a testimony, friend. Amen. And that's where, amen, that's where. Now you got to understand, amen, because some will say about Bible preachers in this day, well, they're just never satisfied. I obey. I put into practice. I'm growing. I'm obeying. I'm living a life of faith. Yeah, they were too. And Paul acknowledged that. And then he said, but. Amen. Ain't that just like a Baptist preacher? Amen. He ain't ever satisfied. Amen. He ain't ever satisfied. Amen. Where folk have grown spiritually. And don't get offended at that. That's a good thing. Amen. Because there's always more room to grow. Amen. There's more room for the gospel to work in our life. Amen. And Paul hones in on something very specific. Amen. Yeah, everybody knows you and I've heard about you. I ain't even been there and I'm happy about what I know about you, but. Amen. But what he says is what you need to learn to do and be very diligent in your life. Amen. Is to get to the place where, amen, you are wise unto that which is good. And simple concerning evil. I believe that Paul is dealing with discernment. Amen. You need to be able to discern between the good and the evil. Amen. You need to be able to look at situations. And my friend, by the gospel and the Spirit of God working in your life, amen, be able to discern that which is good and that which is evil. I'll never forget, I don't think, till the day that I die. Amen, maybe a couple years ago, amen, we was in the early prayer room meeting and we was talking about this generation and how many changes this generation of Christianity, so-called, is making to the faith. The compromises, the liberalism, the lowering of the standards, the embracing of things that, amen, is so foreign to what we would call old-time Bible religion. And I'll never forget Brother A.L. Hall spoke up. Amen. And when Brother A.L. speaks up, I try to perk up and listen. Amen. Because he'll teach you something if you listen. Amen. And he looked at me and said, preacher, some things the Holy Ghost has got to teach people. Amen. And may I say amen, amen, and amen. Amen. If you will allow the gospel to have its, amen, presiding power in your life. Amen. I believe he, the Holy Ghost, will lead you in, amen, spiritual discernment to know the difference between good and evil. Or as Paul said, amen, you'll have some wisdom about the good. Amen. And you'll be simple. That is harmless. Amen. You won't wind up getting hung up in a bunch of evil along the way. Amen. And so I wrote a few things down I noticed in this verse. Amen. And I feel like I'm bogging down right here. God help us. Amen. Notice what he said. Amen. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Amen. In light of this verse and the thought of the gospel presiding for our discernment, I wrote this down this way. Amen. I see here in this opening statement the condition for discernment of good. Amen. There is a condition, Brother Mike, that must be met if we're to grow, if the gospel is going to be able to direct us, amen, into discerning what is good and what is evil. Amen. To be able to discern what is God's way, to discern, amen, what is right and what is righteous and what is pure and what is holy. You say, preacher, what is that condition? If you're taking notes, write it down. And the word is right there in the verse. It is the word obedience. The word obedience. Amen. You will never be wise to the good and simple to the evil, my friend, if there is not obedience in your life. Amen. I talk with folk all the time. And here's what they say. Now don't get mad at me now. I'm just preaching. Amen. I'm just preaching. Don't get mad. Get right. Amen. But I talk with a lot of folk in this generation. And here's what they say. I just don't see nothing wrong with, and you can fill in the blank on dozens of different things. And it don't matter. You can talk to them till you're blue in the face. Amen. You can sit down, and I have, and spend hours upon hours in meeting after meeting. And my friend, they just never get it. And I'll show you what the Lord showed me from this text. Amen. Somewhere in their life, there is the absence of obedience. Amen. A lot of times, the lacking of discernment, amen, can simply be traced back, amen, to some stubbornness, some rebellion, amen, some little stiffening of the neck in someone's life. Amen. And Paul said, I'll need you to grow in this area. I want to challenge you to let the gospel establish you in your discernment of the good. And he could have confidence that that would happen. Amen. Because they were an obedient bunch of believers. Amen. I got one amen and one yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a condition. There is a condition. Amen. The condition of obedience must be met. Amen. Many folk make up their minds outside of the gospel directing them. And are never, Paul said, amen. Paul said there are some. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Amen. There are some that have swerved from the faith, making shipwreck. Amen. They're ever learning, Paul would say, and never able to come to the knowledge and the truth. And he would use an Old Testament illustration now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Amen. And he likened the crowd in our day. Amen. Within the church, it has no discernment. Amen. They'll fight the preacher every step of the way. They'll fight the work of the gospel and the Holy Ghost every step in their spiritual walk. And it ain't no wonder they can't see the good from the bad. Amen. If you don't have an obedient heart and a willing mind, amen, as it relates to our faith, amen, we'll never grow and be established in the discernment of the good. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. Good preaching. Amen. The condition for the discernment of good. I wrote this down. I like this point. I won't spend much time on it, but I call it the consolation about discernment of good. A consolation. You say, what do you mean? Notice what Paul said. Amen. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. You know what Paul is saying? It consoles my heart. Amen. When I think about your obedience, when it is a witness and eyewitnesses come to me and say, amen, how obedient you are and how you're allowing God and the gospel to lead your life. Amen. Paul said, it brings me much joy. Amen. There's gladness in the heart of, amen, a true man of God. Listen, amen, there are men of God all through this land. Amen. They are hirelings. They're only glad and happy when God's people's giving them something. Amen. They're in it for the money. They're in it for the show. They're in it for the handshakes and the slaps on the back. Amen. But Paul said, I tell you what makes me glad. Amen. When I hear your testimony, amen, that you are growing and the gospel is working. Amen. And that there is growth going on in your life and that you're not stoned up and you're not in rebellion. Amen. And you can discern the good from the evil. Paul said, that makes me glad on your behalf. Any man of God worth his salt, amen, he'd live in a cardboard box just to know, amen, the people he ministers to, amen, are allowing the gospel to work in their life, amen, and they're growing in discernment, and they, my friend, are growing in what is right and knowing what is wrong, and are embracing truths and embracing a holy life and embracing standards and separation and growing in sanctification. Amen. I love what Paul said. I am glad on your behalf. Amen. Amen. Some of the greatest heartbreaks I've had in 20-something years of ministry have been trying to help folk, minister to them through the gospel. Amen. Only for them to turn it away. Amen. Turn it away. Amen. And where Paul said, amen, I'm glad therefore on your behalf, he could say that about them. They were some Paul could say, I am sad on your behalf. Amen. John the Beloved said in 3 John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, that is his spiritual children, amen, those that he administered to walk in the truth. Amen. And so there's a consolation about discernment. Amen. Listen. Amen. Listen. You want to make your preacher happy? And I know it ain't about the preacher. Amen. It's got to be about the Lord more than anything. Amen. But, amen, a happy preacher, they say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And if preacher ain't happy, ain't nobody else going to be happy. Amen. And Paul said, there's joy in my heart to know that the gospel can work in your life. You'll allow it to work and you'll have this establishing of discernment of good. Amen. I think that's pretty good. It's good church preaching right here. Number three, notice with me the consideration and discernment of good. Amen. And this all the further I'll make it. We're about to go off the radio. Thank y'all for listening. Good Lord bless you. Tune back in next Sunday night. Amen. You'll hear Brother Wesley Webb preaching here. But, amen, notice with me here the consideration. He said, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Two things on this point of the consideration Paul is saying. Amen. As far as you've come, don't ever get satisfied. Amen. As far as the gospel has brought you, don't you ever think that you have arrived and you've learned it all and that you have all that you need. Amen. He said, you're well known. You are world famous. Amen. The best of the best, the apostles, when they get together, amen, all they want to talk about is the church at Rome and what kind of Christians you are. Amen. And it's like Paul jerks the rug out from underneath them and says, amen, but don't you be happy with that. Amen. And consider that, amen, the gospel has a further work to do in your life. So the consideration is, consider that you've not arrived. Notice the specifics of this consideration. I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. We're living in a generation, man, that there is so much evil in. We as God's children got to understand the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God does not deal with every avenue of evil. We're living in things, man, people's coming out with stuff all the time. Amen. That are either pure out evil or are avenues and gateways to get you in trouble with sin. And you say, preacher, how do we navigate all of this? How do we navigate all this? Amen. I think that we ought to consider, amen, the fact that the gospel and the Holy Ghost through the gospel, Christ through the gospel, and by gospel preaching, amen, we can learn how to discern between the good and the evil. Amen. And folk want to argue all the time. They want to say when you try to confront them about something or preach on something, they'll come and they'll say, well, what's wrong with what I'm doing? They want to know what's wrong with what I'm doing. And we ought to turn that cat around the other way, rub him the other way, and say, what's right with what you're doing? Amen. Just because you can look at it and not find anything wrong with it, don't even make it right. Amen. And you got to have discernment in these days. And we could preach on so many things right here. So many things right here. There's so many avenues. I like this verse. I'll read it to you in a minute. Another verse Jesus said, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 10, goes along with this. where Christ said, amen, to his disciples, he said, I'm sending you forth as sheep, as lambs in the midst of wolves. And then he made this statement, Brother A.L., he said, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. It's the same idea that Paul is giving there, that we need to have a wisdom and a discernment about us. And my friend, we can know the path that we're to go to discern the direction of our life. Amen. Lest we wind up devoured by, amen, the wolves in which, my friend, we're living among. Amen. I'm sending you forth as sheep and lambs among the wolves. Amen. How are you going to make it? How are you going to survive? How are you going to make it without being devoured by this ungodly world? Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Grow in discernment. Amen. Discernment, some people think that's their spiritual gift. Amen. And amen. I don't think discernment's a spiritual gift. It's something every child of God can have because the gospel lives in you. Amen. And I understand God leads some of us different ways and some avenues, and there's some things that are deeply personal. But man, unto God, we can't be accepting everything this world's throwing at us. We can't be accepting everything religion of our day is throwing at us. We can't even accept everything that, amen, even maybe folk in our own congregation would promote. Right? Amen. And so there's got to be a discernment, amen, and the gospel presides in our life to help establish us that in that discernment of good. And the consideration is the good way and the evil way. Be wise to the good, be simple to the evil. Let me read you this verse. I'll wind down, I'll close. Amen. I figured I'd get three amens right there. 1 Corinthians 14:20 said, brethren, be not children in understanding. Don't be immature in understanding. Amen. Don't be immature in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And in the context he's dealing with tongues, and so I'm just lifting it out as application. Really, really, Brother Bob, what Paul is saying there, how it connects to our verse in Romans 16:19 is, he's saying you need to grow up and mature in being able to understand and discern some things in your life. Amen. Understanding. And Tim taught a bunch on that a month ago. Amen. The importance of understanding for discernment between good and evil. Amen. I'll be honest. The further we get in the last days, the longer I'm pastoring, I get more and more just weary with watching people choose the evil day after day. Go away and you preach to them and you tell them better and they go on and they do it anyway. Amen. You say, preacher, what's the problem? Well, some of them need the power of gospel unto salvation. Amen. That's the truth of the matter. Many of them do. But not all. Some just need to realize the gospel's there in their life and will lead them beyond, amen, them charting the course. And the gospel will establish you in discernment of the good. Amen. Does that make sense? God help us to be able to see it. Amen. Be able to see it. I don't want to be deceived. I do not want to be deceived in these days. Amen. And you don't want to be deceived. I don't believe anybody here wants to be deceived. There's a lot of deception going around. Preacher, how do I keep from being deceived? Anchor in the gospel. Let it bring discernment into your life. Well, I wanted to preach on grace tonight. Y'all want the third point? I'll just mention it to you and I'll be done. Amen. We've seen our disbursement of goodwill, our discernment of good, and then there is our development in grace. Amen. The gospel will develop you in the grace of God. Amen. And I wrote down some things there in them verses twice, Brother Tim, Paul said, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you, amen. And then he goes down to verse number 24 and he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all, amen. And them verses look like, oh, that's just space being filled up, them men signing their names in salutation. I'm going to show you something, how it relates to our development in grace, all right? You'll have to wait a few weeks, amen, till we can get back and preach it. Let's stand together.